The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two elders along with you so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Thought I'd tell you this morning a little bit about our first reading, okay? Because the first reading is one of the most difficult and most mysterious readings that you'll ever hear. And I just love to explain those kinds of readings. In fact, I wish I had a half an hour to go over all the things that are in this first reading. But just really briefly, the story of the first reading is about two things, okay? Story of the first reading is about two things. Number one, it's about the unfortunate consequences of breaking God's commandments. And number two, it's about God's plan to restore his people even after they do. That's what the first reading is all about. The consequences of breaking God's commandments and God's plan to restore us even when we've broken those commandments. It's a reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, and we're going to be hearing from Ezekiel, oh, pretty much every day for the next couple of weeks here. So Ezekiel was a prophet to the people just before and just during the time of the exile in Babylon. And just once again for me to remind you, it was probably the most important thing that happened to the Israelite people in all the years of the Old Testament since they got the promised land was that they were exiled in Babylon. They lost the promised land. They were taken captives for decades and decades. Ezekiel was a prophet just before that time and during that time. The year is around 590 BC, give or take. Okay, so what had happened that had led the people to lose the promised land and be taken away in captivity? The answer is they'd begun to worship false gods, gods of all the peoples, all the nations around them. And whenever you hear that, remember, that really means that they did so for the sake of profit and expediency. Why'd they worship the false gods? Because it helped their business bottom line, that's why. Why'd they worship the false gods? Because it was just easier not to be in conflict with people over your beliefs. They just went along with what everybody else was going along with. Does anything like that happen today in our own time? No, right? No. People never abandon their beliefs for the sake of getting along and going along, do they? Never, never. No, it happens all the time. But that's what led to the terrible consequences that you hear in the first reading. How bad was it? The entire leadership of the people had abandoned the worship of God. 70 elders of the people had begun to worship beasts. Moses had originally chosen the 70 elders of the people as the leadership of the temple. In the time of the Gospels, these people are known as the Sanhedrin. They had begun to worship beasts. The leading women of the temple had begun to worship a goddess. Her name was Tammuz. The leading men of the temple had turned their backs to the temple to worship the rising sun. So the leadership of the people and the leadership of the priests had all abandoned God. That's where your first reading begins. Three things happen in your first reading, okay? Three things. Number one, the glory of the Lord leaves the temple. Number two, there's a terrible, terrible destruction and death for many people all across Jerusalem. And number three, certain people, men and women, are marked by God with this sign on their foreheads, a sign of a tau, to protect them against what is about to happen. So, quick look at each one of those three. First of all, the glory of the Lord leaves the temple. When Solomon built the temple back in the Book of Kings, it was said that a cloud descended upon the temple in Jerusalem, the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, and it was everybody's pride and joy that God was present. What happens now? For the first time ever, the people lose the glory of the Lord over the temple. And you know what that reminds us of? That reminds us that no institution is stronger than the behavior of its members. Nothing magical about the temple once the people had abandoned the worship of the God of the temple. The glory of the Lord departed the temple. Second thing, terrible destruction all across Jerusalem. Men, women, and children who were killed. And what's that a reminder of us, to us of? It's a reminder that there are real bad consequences for breaking God's commandments. You know, the commandments are not little taboos. They're not little rules that God gets mad when we break them. They're there for our well-being, the well-being of our families and friends and ourselves. And there's all the unhappy consequences down throughout human history came about as a consequence of breaking commandments. That's what that stands to recognize. And the third is that the people, certain people are marked with a letter, tau, on their forehead. Tau is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And at this time in history, it looked like a little cross. So isn't it interesting that certain people in Jerusalem are marked with a cross for their protection? These are the ones who moaned and groaned and lamented all the abominations practiced within the city. These are the ones who were truly faithful all the way to the end, regardless of what anyone else did. And those people are the ones that God is going to use to restore his people and bring them back. He always uses a certain small number of faithful people to restore his people and to bring them back. He did it back in the Old Testament. Remember the story of the Passover, when the angel of death passes over the land of Egypt. And those who are saved are the ones who have the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. Certain small remnant that's protected. It'll happen again in the book of Revelation. Before all the angels go out to scour the earth with all kinds of plagues, God says, "Do not harm those who I seal on the forehead with my special mark." Small remnant, a small number of people that God uses to restore his people. And that's always the larger plan, and that's what we need to take away from the first reading. In times of hardship, might be in your personal life, might be as a nation as a whole, might be worldwide, in any times of hardship, remember, God's larger plan is never the destruction of his people, it's the restoration of his people. This same prophet Ezekiel would later prophesy that God was going to bring his people back from exile, just like dead, dry bones coming together and forming a brand new life once again. And the glory of the Lord would return to the temple. You know that? It's kind of interesting in a separate story all unto itself. You know when the glory of the Lord returns to the temple? When they present the baby Jesus in the temple. The glory of the Lord once again descends upon the temple. Interesting and entirely separate subject. But remember, in times of difficulty, don't ever lose sight of God's larger plan, but rather let's cooperate with him in cooperation, humility, and perseverance. And ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Jane Frances de Chantal, pray for us.